everyone. Welcome to another fantastic episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by eejournal.com and hosted by yours truly, Amelia Dalton. In this week's Fish Fry, we're talking about edge processing and specifically how we can build a responsible society through edge processing. But before we get into all of that, how about a little news you may have missed? Building power into your walls edition. Don't you think it's time to update the brick? I mean, there hasn't been much in the realm of brick innovation since, I don't know, 3500 BC or so. So what if we could make the very building blocks of our walls into electricity storage? Well, if a team of scientists at Washington University in St. Louis has anything to do with it, we're going to start by making them supercapacitors. Yep, you heard me right. And apparently you just need to add a little conductive polymer called PDOT. So in this case, this PDOT polymer is also comprised of nanofibers. And when this team coated bricks in this special PDOT polymer, those nanofibers actually worked their way inside the porous structure of the brick. It's the brick's hematite nanostructure that's key here. It's actually used as a reactant, in this case, to the vapor deposit of that nanofiber coating. So think of this as a kind of a ion sponge. These spongy bricks not only conduct electricity, but also store energy as well. And what they found with this study is pretty amazing. With the addition of the nanofiber-filled PDOT, this team at Washington University in St. Louis found that these bricks can store larger amounts of energy and can be charged and discharged more quickly than batteries. Not only that, they can be stacked together to build a bigger energy storage device. And when a wall with these bricks is completed and finished off with a coat of epoxy, it keeps the bad stuff out and the electricity in. Preliminary tests with these new brick supercapacitors is pretty promising. This team found that a brick could charge to 3 volts in 10 seconds and then light up a green LED for 10 minutes. This team explains that it's their idea that these power bricks would be connected to solar cells, and then they could run an array of microelectronic sensors and lights. And since they are a supercapacitor, these bricks could be recharged hundreds of thousands of times every hour. Julio de Arce, lead author of this study, puts it like this. He says, PDOT-coated bricks are ideal building blocks that can provide power to emergency lighting. We envision that this could be a reality when you connect our bricks with solar cells. This could take 50 bricks in close proximity to the load. These 50 bricks could enable powering emergency lighting for 5 hours. Oh yeah, and these bricks also work underwater. Super cool, right? So if you want further information about this supercapacitor brick study, I've included a couple links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com, including a white paper called Energy Storing Bricks for Stationary PDOT Supercapacitors. All right. And now it's time to bring in Gauri Chindalor. From NXP, Gauri and I are talking about the edge processing revolution today and tomorrow. Let's get started. Hi, Gauri. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hi, Amelia. Good morning.
So we're talking about the edge processing revolution today. But Gauri, this is more than just adding more and more devices and selling more and more technology, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right, Amelia. We kind of live in a world of numbers, where we tend to measure the opportunity for the companies and the things that we do in terms of like size of the market, how many devices were we able to put on a single person. It's not that kind of a financial metrics. But the reality is that the edge processing revolution is actually driven by what I would say is a human's innate nature to get better. And what I mean by that is that we have an instinctive survival instinct that basically makes us that we want to get better, productive, responsible, and believe it or not, equitable. Now, that is the single reason, single underlying reason that often in the din of the numbers, the primary reason for edge processing gets lost. Edge processing, when it's implemented correctly, it helps our society utilize our natural resources in a more efficient way. It helps us protect our environment and even improve our fundamental rights that we value so much, like privacy, safety, security, and equity.
So, Gowri, what do you think are the biggest challenges we will be facing in the future of this edge processing revolution?
Amelia, I think there will be two major challenges if I look into the future as this edge processing revolution grows. One is going to be around the power efficiency, and the second one is going to be the managing the enormous amounts of data that this edge processing is going to generate. To think about it this way, as in like, as we add billions and billions of edge devices, power consumptions become a major issue. When it comes to edge devices, there are two kinds. One is a battery-operated device, and the other one that is connected to an outlet, basically connected to a power grid. The need for power efficiency in a battery-operated device is very obvious. Right? Nobody wants to keep charging the devices every day. We want as much efficiency as possible, so we minimize the amount of charging that we need to do. So that's pretty obvious. But what's not very obvious to many people is if you're connecting a device to an outlet, why do you care about power efficiency? So it doesn't occur right away. It's not intuitive. But there is a big reason. Even though a device is connected, an edge device is connected to an outlet, it is still drawing power even when it is not being used. And people often call this as vampire power. And when you add billions and billions of edge processing devices that are connected into the grid, and they're all drawing some amount of waste power, even when they're not being used, it can quickly add up. One of the biggest challenges that's going to face edge processing is how do you minimize this vampire power and improve the overall power efficiency of the edge devices? Data management is the next challenge. We can easily see right away today, we generate terabytes of data per day based on the amount of videos we generate, the selfies we take, or the music that we produce or transmit, and the dance videos, etc., etc. But now you add other things like a car, a connected car, along with many devices that you are connected to. You're generating potentially 10 and 20 terabytes of data per day per person. If all of these things need to be handled, and it has to be handled somewhere else, like in a cloud or in a server, it will become extremely power hungry and unnecessary wastage of bandwidth. I know we are going into the 5G era, which is going to be 10 gigabits per second kind of a bandwidth, but just using that bandwidth to send terabytes of raw data is, I would say, is irresponsible. So what's important is we need to figure out how do you extract knowledge and even information and knowledge out of this raw data. That will be the next biggest challenge that we have.
So along these lines, Gowri, what kind of opportunities do you see coming into focus here? And what is NXP in particular doing in this arena?
What's possible with edge processing, the opportunities that you refer to, is only limited by our imagination. We can start from the homes that we live in, improving how we interact with the devices around us, making it more human-like intuitive interaction, like voice and gesture, versus old style of having to thumb through multiple pages of menu on a touchscreen to find the one task that we want the device to do. That's all going to be so yesterday. What you'd see in the future is going to be devices that interact with humans in a more human-like interaction, which is combination of the face, voice, and gesture, because 70% of the human-to-human communication is actually nonverbal. So it's important that these devices become more intuitive for us to interact with. Well, that is our productivity and our convenience. But then you can take the same home network and say that they become a protector of your property and things in the house when you are away. Think about it this way. When you are away, it could be this network could be listening to spurious sounds and detecting a smoke alarm if it's going off, or a water faucet that's leaking, or even glass breaks, and alert you if it's not a false alarm or if it is a real event. You can extend this to monitor in a safe fashion our elderly or even sick members of the family. And in the older styles, it used to be video monitoring, right? Which is very obtrusive. In the future, edge processing, we can do that in a very unobtrusive fashion. It could be based on the presence or absence, or if the person has fallen, the change in the network signal strength itself. These are some of the great ideas that are coming up. You can take this to healthcare, which is very, very relevant topic at this point. Fast detection of diseases in mobile units, even in remote parts of the world, where typically people would have to go travel quite a bit of distance to go see a medical facility. But if you can take, you know, a detection device to those locations and be able to detect it on the spot without having to send all of the data somewhere else, that's enormous improvement in terms of how we can deliver healthcare to remote populations of the world. You can even extend this into industrial productivity, basically avoiding line down situation for breakdowns, which is a very expensive situation. And even for that matter, preventive maintenance. Imagine you don't have to do preventive maintenance, but you transform that into predictive maintenance. So you only service something if it is actually showing signs of a breakdown coming up soon. Safety in the society is another area that I'm thinking right now. It would be a very important opportunity that's coming up. Safety, and actually, I can even extend this to a bias-free monitoring systems. As a humans, when we are monitoring something, it's natural for us to have a certain biases. But edge processing that's built off of intelligence capability that's bias-free can actually do this safety monitoring for us in a much more equitable fashion. You also asked about NXP. And NXP's focus has been addressing the two challenges that I mentioned earlier. One of them is the power efficiency, and the other one is how do you make the data extraction safe and secure and protect it inside the edge devices itself. In fact, I would say these two areas are our signature strengths, built upon decades of experience that NXP has. And we are working really hard to translate those strengths into putting those into actual devices so that the society can benefit ultimately.
So, Gowri, where do you see us heading in the future in terms of edge processing? And expand upon those other topics you spoke about.
So, to see where we are going, Amelia, we have to kind of look back at where we have been and how far we have come. So, if you do a mental map of what a society has been over the last 1,000 years, let's say, let's not go into 4,000 years ago. Let's just take what the last 1,000 years has looked like. And if I do a mental map of that, what's clear to me is that we have constantly strived to make our society more productive, safer, and equitable. Of course, there are many, many examples of deviations to this premise. But on an average, we have always been making progress in the forward direction. Edge processing, in my view, is the next step towards that evolution. It's recognizing that, you know, human society, we are responsible for the environment we live in, and it's not bad to have comfort and convenience, but that comfort has to be built upon a responsibility. Just imagine the case of this. A society where a heart problem can be treated before actual heart attack happens. Imagine the amount of money that's spent in treating a heart attack patient, right? But if you could prevent that based on edge processing that provides an early detection of a heart problem, the amount of money we spend and therefore the resources that we consume from the nature would be dramatically lower. And this is the same thing that you can apply into agriculture. For example, if you could water the areas that need the watering, and if you could water only when it's needed, being able to draw it based on the amount of moisture that's in the soil and future weather predictions, then you protect and you save a lot of the natural resources. Animal husbandry is another major area where we can see significant improvement. Instead of treating thousands of farm animals in one unified fashion, you now can introduce customized treatment on an animal-by-animal basis, deliver what's needed for that animal rather than just apply it as a general rule for thousands. So ultimately, I think where we are heading is in the direction of reducing waste. Human population is 7+ billion. So we do generate a lot of waste in the society, but edge processing minimizes that waste, whether it's in the form of natural resource consumption or in the form of power generation and utilization. In fact, I would even say that the edge processing is about spending one unit of energy so that we don't end up spending two units of energy in solving a problem.
I love that, Gowrie. That is a perfect way to put this issue. Well, okay, it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, Gowrie, you have a favorite sport in your life? Tell me more about that.
Yeah, it makes me smile because I came to the United States for my higher studies. That was 27 years ago. I came to do my master's and then eventually my PhD, but I came to US 27 years ago. And when I came in, my exposure to United States was so limited that the first time I got on a plane was on the way to US. And I was sitting in the plane and they served the breakfast and I had no idea how to use the cheese. So I had to actually ask the guy sitting next to me, who is a British guy, hey, what is this piece of thing that I see here? And how do I even use it? Oh, this is called cheese and this is how you use it, right? So that was my first exposure to cheese and related food. And now one of my favorite food, by the way, is pasta. So 27 years later, if any time I would prefer pasta over anything else. So that's one. And second, interestingly, I came to US in spring and early time, and that was during the time of Super Bowl. And I was at Purdue University and I happened to see that in the newspaper they said America's team wins Super Bowl. And I had no idea what an America's team is and I had no idea what a Super Bowl is. But that clicked. Something clicked in me and I just went and studied everything about football. Football for me was very different. American football was very different. So I read about it and I saw that. And 1 year later, football, American football became my favorite sport. Cowboys became my favorite team. That's unchanged 27 years later. Every single bit, every DNA has changed.
I love that. I can't say that I'm a Cowboys fan, but I do love that story. That's wonderful, Gowrie. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me. This was a really cool topic.
Thank you very much, Amelia.
Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EE Journal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EE Journal TFM. And don't forget, if you want to follow my personal Twitter account, check out Amelia D. 1978. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, sure, I dig it. You can follow me or us on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by, I don't know, that'd be me. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can subscribe to this here podcast through Spotify, Podbean, or the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, or if you just want to chat, I promise I will respond. Shoot me a line at Amelia, A-M-E-L-I-A, at eejournal.com. Or you can also post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of August 14th, 2020, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.